Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we're continuing in Mark's Gospel chapter 12. This is a slightly longer chapter and therefore warranted a second look. And we're actually going to be sharing between verses 18 and the end of the chapter. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are really quite tenacious. They just won't give up in trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap him in some way, trying to undermine the authority that he clearly has. And so we find ourselves in a quite fascinating situation about the resurrection. Now, the Sadducees don't actually believe in the resurrection, so it's quite interesting that they have a question about it. The Pharisees did believe in a resurrection of the dead. But anyway, they come and say, look, here's the situation. Moses says if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And it's a peculiar story because they want to actually emphasize, well, this keeps happening. In other words, it doesn't just happen once, but in fact, it just happens. There were seven brothers. And so the situation is that there are seven marriages. And therefore, they're really trying to confuse things. And they say, well, at the end, the woman also dies. None of them have any children. So at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? And I think Jesus is quite angry. Not sort of an unrighteous anger, far from it. We know that he never sinned in the slightest sense. But what, of course, Jesus recognizes is that they're not really interested in this at all. That all they're trying to do is conjure up some story to try and trick him. And he says, you just don't really see the real issue here. The real issue is that when the resurrection happens, marriage will not have the same place that it does in this life on this earth. When people die, it's not that a husband and wife won't know each other in heaven and enjoy being together in the presence of God, but it won't be a marriage relationship. That relationship is confined and is very special and very treasured upon this earth. And the other thing that Jesus is pointing out is that God is the God of the living, and therefore, although in one sense someone has died, the reality is that there's a spiritual side of us that will never die. And therefore, yes, there's the death of the physical body, but we move on from that into life eternal, and our spirit is able to rejoice in God our Saviour if we're saved, or be separate from him forever if we've rejected Christ. Well, another question comes, and they say, well, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus does something. It's very possible that he's also said this in another situation. But Jesus says, look, this is the most important commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself. What Jesus is saying is the real strength of the commandment is a loving relationship with God, honouring God, giving him his rightful place, but also that we care for those around us. Well, there are one or two other issues, and I think we're going to have to pick this up in the next program. So we're going to pause there and have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to talk about these verses in Mark chapter 12.
to worship you in spirit and in truth. I live to know you more so that you'll be glorified. I gladly break my life like an alabaster box. I draw near to you to worship at your feet. You're beautiful, Jesus, you are beautiful. You're wonderful and all that I live for. You're captivating, fascinating. I can't take my eyes off you, beautiful one. I long to worship you in spirit and in truth. Live to know you more so that you'll be glorified. I gladly break my life like an alabaster box. I draw near to you to worship at your feet. You're beautiful, Jesus, you are beautiful. You're wonderful and all that I live for. You're captivating, fascinating. I can't take my eyes off you.
Captivating, fascinating. You're captivating, fascinating. You're captivating, so amazing. I can't take my eyes off you, beautiful
one. You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look again at these verses in Mark chapter 12. First off, then, this issue of marriage at the resurrection. But actually, it's not so much the issue. It's that the Pharisees, once again, are trying to catch him out.
Yes, that's what's going on. And in fact, it's the Sadducees. And that's so curious because they didn't believe in the resurrection anyway. So it's quite strange. They're trying to trick him, but they trick themselves straight away by talking about a subject that they don't believe in.
I mean, interestingly, in the course of this, it is for us a little insight into eternal life, if you like, and what life will be like in heaven. It's just a little insight. Many people, I think, you know, fear what happens after death. Is it something to be feared, would you say?
No, it's nothing to be feared, but we have to trust God, because there's an awful lot about the future that we don't know. So we don't have to fear, but we do have to trust him, because only he knows exactly how it's all going to work out.
Then we get this next section where they're asking him, or one of the teachers of the law, it says, is asking him, which is the most important commandment? What do you make of the answer that he gives? Because he doesn't list all ten.
No. Well, I think what Jesus is doing, and only Jesus can do this, is a masterful summary of the ten. Because if you were trying to sum up the ten, no one could do it better than Jesus. But that's actually what he's done, summarizing those ones concerning God, the first four, and this other six, summarizing how we behave with one another. So that's what Jesus has done.
What do you make of this? We're not told who it is. This teacher of the law, presumably one of the Pharisees, who comes to him. And at the end of this little encounter, Jesus kind of compliments him, and he says, you know, you've answered well, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So is this one of the Pharisees who is perhaps more inclined to believe Jesus?
Yes, I mean, as you say, we don't know who it is. But here's a thoughtful Pharisee. Here's someone who's really listening. You know how sometimes people give an answer and they haven't heard the question. But that's not what's happening here. He has listened very carefully to Jesus, and he's kind of feeling his way, and he's kind of trying to work out, well, what's going on? Who is this Jesus? What is different about him? And I believe Jesus sees his heart and recognises here's somebody serious.
It is worth saying that, you know, there were people like that in Jesus' day who were Pharisees, who were Sadducees, who were these important people, and overall, the group seemed to be opposed to Jesus, but there were these individuals who were thinking more deeply.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we know for certain Nicodemus, who's mentioned in John chapter 3, and it seems also that Joseph of Arimathea, who was also part of that Sanhedrin, that Pharisaical council, he's another thinker. So, and there could have been others, of course, that are not recorded. But yes, maybe you had to really have a lot of courage to stand up, because the general feeling was, this is an imposter, this is someone to get rid of. But they were thinking, we feel there's more to it than that.
Yeah. Well, there we must leave it. As you say, we'll pick up the rest of the chapter in the next programme. But for now, Richard, thank you very much indeed. So do join us again next time as we'll continue looking at Mark chapter 12 in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.